I'm preaching tonight from a very familiar subject. I know I made one bid for the altar call, hoping that you would pray. But today I felt impressed of the Lord to preach, and I'd like to reach on the last night of this meeting for your soul. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter number 19, very, very familiar scripture. The Word of God tells us and while he lingered, the men laid hold on upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Luke chapter 17. Three words. Christ said in verse 32, he said, remember Lot's wife. Remember her. Why remember this lady? What is it that is so important? It was a life of tragedy. It was a life of shame. It was a life of disobedience. It was a life that took no regard to the judgment of God. It was a life that said, it'll not happen. For if faith was really in the God in whom she said she knew, she would have run for her life and escaped to the mountain. But it was a proven fact that her undying love for the world proved out that her faith in God was nowhere comparison to her love for Sodom. It's sad, but I may pull a little tight tonight. But oh, it's so sad to see those that stand on the brink of disaster, that stand on the verge of trouble, that stand on the rim of falling out forever. Some years ago, I preached a message in our church. I was preaching a 3-week revival in Alabama, and I'll never forget it. One night during the service, the Holy Ghost fell upon me. I was standing in the service. The choir was singing. And immediately I lost tone of the sound that was in the house. And I heard a voice speak to me and said, borderline, backslid forever. And the Lord spoke to me. And when he did, my knees buckled underneath me. And I fell uncontrollably in the seat behind me. I grabbed my Bible and I pulled out my pen and I wrote down what the Holy Ghost said. And I remember him saying, you preach this Sunday morning at your church. I remember reading the text. I remember quoting the title. And a woman on that side of the building jumped up and let out a scream. Her hair was long. Her sleeves were long. But there was something inside of her that was a rocking her nerves, that was a stopping her. It was the fact of the matter, God found that she loved Sodom more than she loved him. I'm telling you, sir, you can sell out to sin, you can sell out to the devil, but be it known unto you, every deed of sin has a payment to it. Every act of sin has a consequence. You cannot sin and rebel against God and expect not to pay the price way through it. Tonight, you know where she is. She has denounced the faith. I mentioned it last year, but I remember it, and I mention it again. She has denounced the faith, Brother Bailey, and she is now a Seventh-day Adventist. She said the Holy Ghost in which we speak is nothing but a bunch of jibber-jabber. I'm talking about 23 years locked inside of holiness. You see, preacher, you've lost your mind. That can't happen to me. One touch of the world upon a white heart will break a mark, will break a black mark that'll make you lose your soul. Tonight, she is singing that used to sing in our church choir. She used to sing a song, not for sale, not for sale. But while she was singing, not for sale, the devil was rattling the chains, and he was finding something. I feel the Holy Ghost to preach. I laid in bed last night, and I told my wife, I said, I felt the Holy Ghost whispering to me last night that there is people in this house. You wouldn't sit in a chair and let them cut your hair, but you'll sell out for just a little bit. My the world. While she was singing, not for sale, you know what happened? He was in hell. I feel like preaching. He was in hell, Brother John. He was counting out the money. He was counting it out. He came to her and said, will you give it up for this? And she said, no. And then he came back and said, will you give it up for that? And in turn, she said, no. I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. There is a price. You must believe it. The enemy's on the block tonight. He's watching what you're doing. And the question of the matter is, will you love Sodom more than you love God? Will you become hardened by the fact of the play? Will you become hardened by the fact of the song? Will you lose your soul and go to hell for what the world can give you? She lived in a home. Can I take my time? She lived in a home. Her daughter is now married to my assistant pastor. I remember when I was a boy, my mom and daddy going over there. Her daddy was a drug dealer. Her daddy was a vile man. He cheated on his wife, on their mother, and brought home a horrible disease to that woman. Are you hearing me? You listen to me well. I feel like preaching here tonight. I know it's the last night of the meeting, but it may be the last time you come here. And I'm not going to let you leave without telling you fire is on its way to the city. Fire is on its way to the city. You know what happened? He come back by and said, will you take it for that? Will you take it for that? And she said, no. Will you take it for this? No. I remember them going by with no bread in the house. Ain't it strange, Brother Bailey, how some folks have suffered through great travail? They've done without money. They've done without food. They've done without clothes. They've done without automobiles. They've done without everything of the luxuries of life. But you let them find one part of Sodom that makes them happy, and they'll sell heaven. Oh, thou shalt all the riches of heaven that they may have one glimpse of the world. Notice what she turned back for. She never got to hold. I I'm preaching, and I may leave you with a bad note in your heart. But young girl, it may be a little plain, but you give him what he wants, you'll be gone. He'll be gone, and you'll never ever have him. Oh, stay with me. Stay with me. You see what the problem was? While she was saying, not for sale, he was steady tempting her on what it would take to buy her. Oh, it may be just a little snipping of the hair. Help me while I preach. I'm telling you, saints of God, I want to talk to my elders a minute. You say, preacher, if all they got in confidence over me for is just how long my hair is. No, it's not just your hair, Grandma. It's the fact you're a roll marker. You're a man or a woman that God's left on the line to point unto others and say, stay in holiness. Stay in what's right. Don't look back. If you look back to Sodom, you're to be sure that thy loss and go to hell. Hello, saint of God, in our area, I love dearly. She was my mom and daddy got saved under their ministry. We lived in Chicago. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble here. They were in Chicago. My daddy was an alcoholic. He stayed drunk. Brother Scotty, you know my daddy. He stayed drunk all the time. Smoked 3.5 packs of cigarettes a day. But never missed a day's work. Never missed a day's work in his life. Hard working man. They preached to them the way of holiness. They preached it so straight. Daddy got the television out of the house. Daddy shifted out to some of the clothing. Help me while I preach. For some of you young ladies in this building, I'm going to leave you tonight. You keep pulling your dress up shorter. It's going to be shorter than you realize. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? It's just a little closer like the world. I'm telling you, there was a time when we wouldn't dare put it in a place where we couldn't shout, where we couldn't run for the fear of showing our nakedness. But when you love Sodom, when you love this world more than you love God, you'll sell a Holy Ghost for a dress. You'll sell a Holy Ghost for a hairdo. I said you'll sell the riches of God for what satisfies your life. Don't you understand? What's bothering you? What's eating at you? What's robbing you? What's making you look at a different dress rack? I know you say, preacher, don't pick on the women. I'll get to the brothers. But you remember one thing, if you don't remember nothing else. The morals of our country and the morals of our home never rise no higher than what womanhood rises. Are you hearing me? And it'll never stoop no lower than what women stoop when the country stoops to when the women stoop morally. The country stoops morally. And when the women rise to a spiritual high, the country to rise unto a spiritual high. I got something to clear up here. Why are you preaching on us? I'll tell you why. You're God in the house. You're telling them to stay out of Sodom. But I must tell you, if you don't get Sodom out of your heart, your children may escape and you'll die lost. I don't know how to preach it. I laid before the Lord and I asked God, help me to know how to preach this. So last night. But what is it? Sister, young lady, where once you was happy with a dress that came down to here. Come on here. What made you want to get it above your knee? Or right at your knee? Don't back up on me. I said, don't back up on me. We gave you the choice. Feel the conviction. Or hear the preaching. When the Holy Ghost can't slay you for revealing things that our children should not see. You're out of touch with the Spirit of God. Are you hearing me? I'm telling my son to be Kosiah. Hear me! In this house, I'd rather have a woman who went to the streams standing for what's right and carry her family and carry her children to heaven than I had the woman that would live close to the hell and send our children into hell. Pray. I'm feeling it getting a little tighter here. She didn't just turn around and look back, Brother Jeff. Before she ever left, she tied a knot in the gate. Before she ever left, you know why our young girls will look at me while I'm preaching tonight and smile at me when I'm preaching against them short dresses? You know why they do it? You've let Sodom date them too long. I ain't really preached holiness this week, but I ain't about to leave without the Holy Ghost helping me preach to you tonight. There's something rotten, sir, when your daughter looks at you and she lives in your roof and you have to look at her and she argues with you on what she can wear inside your house. Maybe I'm too old-fashioned, but my daddy told me, as long as you stick your feet underneath this table and eat my groceries, you're going to dress the way I tell you to dress. You're going to buy the clothing that I tell you to buy. What was it? It was, I'm shutting the door. I'm a shutting Sodom outside of a house. I'm a telling Sodom, you can't come in here. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now when you sit down and you want us to believe, you still got the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you are a preacher's wife, even the more you should toe the line. Stand up, baby. This is the best woman in the house, as far as I'm concerned. See, I feel that way about mine. Good, you ought to. But she ain't yours. If you don't want a red nose, don't mess with her. Are you hearing me? They call it too strict, Brother Chuck. That woman lives under bondage. That woman don't want you to mess with what she's got. When she gets ready to leave, or she goes out to town, oh, that's under bondage, preacher. she looks at me and she said, "Baby, is this all right? What do you think about it? You know where we slipped up at? I'll tell you where we slipped up at. When we got to feeling like it ain't none of nobody's business who we got to dress in front of. When we got to feel like it ain't none of nobody's business how I preach. Hey, preacher brother, it is my business that you preach holiness with me. Or you're against us. You hear me? I said you're either preaching the unadulterated word of God or you're fighting against us. Howard W. Hamilton said, she took, just a minute, she took one step out and turned around and stood still forever. I don't know why I feel the Holy Ghost here, but I'm going to obey what I feel. When you can't raise your hands to the height for revealing your flesh, you're indecent. Male or female. You know what's bothering me? Where was the Holy Ghost when you brought it? When you went to the dressing room and tried it on and you lifted your arms, where was the Holy Ghost? I said, where was he? Did he speak and say, don't do it? Or did you override him and go do it anyways? You know what she did? I'll tell you what she did. She tried it on. And the first mistake, number one, she didn't care if he was saved. She didn't want to be saved. It didn't bother her that her and the children escape. Him and the children escape. You just leave me alone. I feel the surgery light turning on. Hallelujah. You know why, Grandma? You look at your little girl now, who is your granddaughter, and you tell her that's all right. I don't see nothing immodest about it. I don't see nothing wrong with it. But what you're not realizing, she's tying a knot at the gate of Sodom, and God's telling her to get out of it. And you're telling her she can live next to Sodom and not catch on fire. What was it? What was it, sister?
I know you're going to think I'm overboard.
Well, what made you want to wear your hair to where it looks like it's cut? You poor sisters. You poor sisters. I'm not against you. But face the fact, Paul did say it, if a man marry a woman, he will mind the things more of a woman than he will of... God! Got quiet right there, didn't it? Yeah, how much do you argue over what she wears? How much, enemy Koshai? How much do you and your wife debate over what your girl can wear? You know what the struggle is? We're trying to juggle Sodom and the Bible at the same time and be happy at the dinner table. But it's hard to bring sin to the table and have a righteous daddy and it not cause a problem. I heard you. I heard you when I said it the other night. Daddy, if your children's lost, it's your fault. Some say, well, preacher, I've got children that are lost and I wish they'd get saved. I understand that. But when you have played around all their life and never got in, never sold out to what was right, never once blazed a trail of faithfulness to the church, to God, to the preacher, to paying tithes, I don't care how long you let your hair grow out. If you love Sodom's money more than you love giving it to God, you're going to go to hell for robbing God. Don't leave me. What happened to her? What made her get to the place where she made history in the Old Testament? But then all of a sudden, there was such a tragic mark. Centuries later. Jesus says, in the middle of two passages that almost don't seem to fit, I shall prove to you. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat and drink, they bought and sold, and planted and they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone. But then all of a sudden, these scriptures that tie here, just two verses above that. But first, must be he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And then he drops in on Lot. Then after Lot's wife, he said, I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. One shall be taken and the other left. What was it? I'll tell you how I feel. I may lose you with this. But I feel like the only reason verse 32 only has three words, it was so tragic, there wasn't nothing else you could write about it except remember it. There's preachers that used to preach with us. There's nothing we could say about them except remember them. Remember them. Come here, church. Right here. There's young girls. The night I preached here in this building and we shut the lights off in this house, I preached on hell that night. When the lights come on, I stood right in front of that floor vent right there. Listen to me. There was a young lady standing there. And when the lights come on, I felt God bring her soul right up in front of her and ask her, what will you do with it? She dropped her head and she looked toward Sodom. Her body came to the altar, but her heart took a trip to Sodom. The greatest peril in our hurry to all the story concerning Lot's wife, it is her shortcoming. And that shortcoming was, number one, she didn't go far enough spiritually. Will you not say that's the peril of our day? It's quiet in this house. It's not that we ain't got you to come to the altar, but we can't get you to go far enough. Are you hearing me? It's all right. You was dancing with me when I was talking about your dress. But what happened? Notice this. Salvation came close to her. But in the end, she was no better than if she would have stayed in the city. Are you hearing me? She was just as lost on the outside of the city as those that were on the inside of the city. You may go to church here, and you may never cut your hair. You may never wear a pair of shorts. I'm going to lose you. But you tell me, get mad at me if you want to. Tighten it too tight, preacher. What business does Holy Ghost-filled women have laying in a bikini in the backyard of somebody's house? You can't run fast enough from the meter reader's eyes. You can't run fast enough out of the pool. Stay with me. And there's preachers' wives. You preach holiness, but your wife don't toe the same line you toe. You know why? You're not the man of your house. Since I got it tight, I'm going to preach it. You know why you're not the man of the house? She won't let you be. If you would have took and started when your children was little, there's some things you wouldn't be battling in their teenage years. I can walk it just as good as I can run it. What happened to her? What is it? What is it? I want some of these saints of God to help me. What is it about some of these elders that you don't want your life to be like theirs? They sleep better than you're sleeping. When he tried to get the prophet of God to prophesy against the children of God, he got up on top of the mountain to open his mouth. And all he could say was, make my end like their end. Mama Bailey, you don't know how much of an inspiration you are to me. I've told that to your son. You've not said a whole lot to me, but there's just something about your spirit. That brother right back there, Brother Cordell, right there. I love that man. I appreciate him. From the very first time 5 years ago that I started coming here, smile now. You know what I've got to say is, make my end like their end. Make my checking out like they're checking out. You understand me? Don't fall out with me. Young lady, do you know why you're flirting with the world? Our Sunday school teachers are having pool parties. You're off base, preacher. I don't believe so. I don't believe so. Instead of having a time where we call prayer meeting, we call a mall visitation. We see him down there. He wants to drag his britches to the ground like the next boy is. We see her down there. She's wanting to wear it with just as much split as the harlot wears it. Why was it? She didn't go far enough to get Sodom out of her heart. When she would have went far enough, she'd have looked at the Sunday school teacher and said, "You go, I can't. The Holy Ghost won't let me go." Sorry. But there's something strange bothering me. Why did Jesus say, "Remember Lot's wife"? Why remember her? Why? I'll tell you why. There's five steps to her mercy that she ignored. And I shall go through them briefly while they get a song. I don't want nobody to leave me. Number one, her marriage should have saved her. She was married to a righteous man. She was married to a man that had an uncle who saw and dealt with God. She had a relationship with a husband that had an uncle that had a relationship face to face just about it with God. But it wasn't good enough to take Sodom out of her heart. Not only was her marriage a road sign from heaven, she was more privileged than any other woman in Sodom and Gomorrah. She had a husband that knew the exit route. Number two, she had mercy that no other woman in Sodom had. God sent two angels to her. He didn't send it to nobody else's house. He sent it to Lot's house. Number three, she had messages. Three messages. Note them. They were warned that night in the city when the angels came and said, "Lot, get your family and get out of here, for God's going to destroy this city." He ran to his daughter's house. And when you let your girl marry some hoodlum, don't get mad when he mocks when you warn them to leave the world alone. I felt something touch me right there. I felt something touch me right there. And I shall say it again. Don't make one hill of beans. Look at me, Grandma. Don't say one thing when she looks at you, when that great day comes, you compromise, you go to hell, she goes to hell, and she sees Grandma in hell with long hair, and then she looks at Grandma and said, "You told us better, but you didn't stop us from going." She was warned outside of the city, "Get up, get out." That warning wasn't good enough. He then in turn took them in the house and put them in the house and warned them again and said, "Get out while you can." Message two. Message three. After he took them on the outside of the city, he then preached again, "Escape to the mountain and don't look back." It wasn't the message's fault. It was the fact she had three messages in one visit. Not only did she have three messages, number four, she had messengers. There wasn't another woman in all the land of Sodom who had angels spend a night in their house. Not a other woman in that city had heavenly beings in their house, sitting on her furniture, staying there till daylight. It looks to me, though, that would have been enough to get her saved. But though angels come stay with you, if your heart's not willing to be saved, you'll not be saved. Holy Ghost, stand by me. I may be losing you, but I say this to you. I got a clock. I know how long I've been preaching. But you're going to beg in eternity for one more message. Brother Bailey, I've had invisible visits of the Holy Ghost, but never have I ever seen an angel. She saw two angels, but not enough to save her. Number five, last but not least, as he plays softly, she had a miracle in her house. What's the miracle, preacher? When the whole city heard that there were two men in the city that were brand new, every stinking homosexual, and let me say this to you without any reservations, if you practice homosexuality, it don't take but one act to make you demon possessed. That's all it takes. Just one act. You lay with another woman, all it takes is one night and you're demon possessed. Felt a little kickback right there. Years ago, I cast 11 demons out of a young boy in my church. He was a homosexual. While in the process of casting out the demons, I didn't know what all he was involved in. The Holy Ghost got to revealing to me, one demon after the other, from witchcraft to every diabolical sin you could just about think of. Sister Bailey, I warned, I pleaded, and I preached to that boy, but he wouldn't listen to me. Do you know where he's at tonight? I feel like preaching. And I got to close. But you know where he's at, Brother Kendall? He left a wife and four children. And he's living with another man, spitting in the face of God. Him and his partners talking about adopting a baby. I don't plan to go that far, preacher. All it takes is one act and you're hooked. And there's some sitting underneath the sound of my voice. There's two in this house. The Holy Ghost just showed it to me. So, preacher, you lost your mind. No, I ain't. God, give me a little more nudging. I'm going to come to the pew you're sitting on. What happened that night? What happened that night? When they started crowding the door, here to us. We want them. I'm going to lose you, and you're going to hate me, and you're going to think I'm crazy. Whatever happened to the day when the boy liked to work in the yard instead of cleaning the house? It's funny, ain't it? It's funny. But that's what they did. They mocked at sin. They counted the visitors ignorant. I hate to even preach it so plain, but they counted them as nothing. No regard for God or heaven, and they wanted to have their affair with them. But I'll tell you what happened that night. A power beyond every power of the world. You know what took place? Them angels moved Lot out of the way. They walked over there to the door and opened up the door. Not touched one of the stinking infidels. Did you hear me? And went out there and smote them in blindness. Until they couldn't find the door. I'm telling you, if I die tonight, it's in this house. You're sitting here. You lied. It's going to be to a daddy's shame. It's going to be to a mama's shame. When she finds out her boy has got bad troubles. I sat in a council meeting, and I don't mean to hold your time. I was called by the folks that come to the state of Georgia, in LaGrange, Georgia, to sit in a meeting. To make a long story short, I sat there in a council state meeting with 20-something boys from the age of 7 to 16 years old who all, listen to me, lived in the same house. I heard the youngest boy that had the worst crime. He was 11 years old. He told of 47 or 46 little girls he assaulted and molested. And I'm sitting there saying, 11? 11 years old! And you know where the root of it was? Every one of the cases that were brought there, and I sat through them, it started over television. You won't put a TV and a cable box in your house, but you'll put a monitor in there and buy DVDs. You used to say anybody wasn't wholeness that had one. Look at me. Right here. Closing. You know what I saw? I saw that man walk out and leave his 4 children and his wife. She's in my church. She comes to me, my wife, sometimes crying. She got my son to Hosea. You better know who you're fitting to get involved with. There's more you don't know. Telling it right. More than she could take one day, she walked in the house, squalled. She said, "Why did he have to do it to me?" Why did he have to leave me and my children for some stinking man? She went through a battle and she said, why wasn't I good enough for him? And I said, Heather, it wasn't that you wasn't good enough for him. He wasn't good enough for you. I've never went to depth of this. Never. But the church where I pastor, when them babies get sick, you know what they say? Call Brother Noah and tell Brother Noah, pray for me. Child support, hear me, has never been able to be a daddy. Child support has never tucked covers underneath a lonely child. It wasn't God's will, Mama, for you to run off and leave Daddy with the girl. Daddy can't answer all the questions. Help me, preacher. I'm looking at the clock and it's racing with my mind while my soul is reaching. She was supremely privileged to be delivered. But she chose supremely to be lost. What are you choosing? Young lady, lost folks, hear this preacher, please. Being a good mama is not just being home every day. Is your children following you to heaven? Or are they following you to hell? Where are you taking your baby, mama? Give me that family. Give me Lot's family one more time. And I'm closing. Don't waste no time. Just right there. Mama, get your place. Come right here, Mama. Right where you was at. Grab daughters by the hand, Daddy. Notice what the Word of God said. I don't know how they did it. There was only two angels. Four of them. But it made mention it touched every one of them. It took Lot by the hand. It took the daughters by the hand. It took the daughters and even took Mama. But even with angels holding their hand. Even in the presence of angels, she turned to a pillar of salt. What are you going to do in the presence of the church? I want you to stand with me all over this house. I plead for your soul. How do I say it? last night, preacher. We got to go home. You don't need to go home lost. Take a new mama home. Take a new daddy to the house. Let new children go home tonight. But you know, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. Mama Bailey. That was the law. When God said, you look back, she turned to a pillar of salt. They saw figurines here tonight. But you know what Calvary did? I'll tell you what Calvary did. He come took a frozen, hearted life. Took it out of the salt stage. He said, go join the family, mama. That's what Calvary did. What the law couldn't do, mercy done it. What the law couldn't write a prescription to get her out of, Calvary said, I'll do it. I'll get her out of it. If she'll ask, I'll forgive her. If he'll tell me he's guilty, I'll take red blood and wash his black heart white as snow. Somebody obey the Lord. Can we lift our hands all over this house? Thank God for the word of the Lord of hope. Can anybody say thank you for hope, Lord? Shadarara kiro sadaro hosai. They play. I'm just about done. I ask no one to go out, please. I want complete reverence for this altar service. I feel like I'm on a mission for somebody in this house tonight. There's some lost women on this side of the church. Tonight, while I was preaching, I felt the wooing of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost told me. He's been dealing with you. He's been talking to you. You've been troubled lately. You know better. But you know what? God's not going to hold it against you if you'll come. He'll put his loving arms around you and wipe the slate clean. Right here. I told you at the beginning of preaching about that woman that walked off, Brother Darrell. That voice that used to sing, "Not for sale." You know where she's singing now? No, it's no nightclub. But she's singing in the Michigan. She's going to Michigan. And she's singing at the National Bikers Convention. The voice that used to rescue. And woo others. The Calvary is now entertaining devils. What are you going to do with your life and what God's gave you? Leave it out there or bring it back in and give it back to God? I'm talking to you. I feel a burden to reach for your soul. Do you realize you're going to go to hell? I prayed about it some years ago. And the Lord brought the scripture to me where He said the God of this world has blinded their eyes that they could not see. Brother Cordell, you know what? I felt the Lord whisper to me. He said if men knew really, Brother Scotty, they were going to hell. He said they would pull the hair out of their head and beg me not let them fall into the flames of hell. I want everybody in this building who's got eyes to see, I want you to look. If you really knew you were lost and you was going to hell, you'd grab this carpet, sir, and you'd claw it with your fingers and beg God, don't let me die lost. I'm done. I never got to preach it, but I was going to preach one night this week on one in hell and five on the way. You know what happened? He looked up and said, Father, send Lazarus that he may go dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But then when he couldn't get no water, he then all of a sudden remembered, I've got brothers. Don't send my brothers here. I may be here, but don't send my family. You know what we do sometimes? We get up and we tell everybody at the death of a precious saint of God, we tell them, we got a little more to go to heaven for. We got loved ones waiting on the other side. Everybody in this building can throw their hand up and say, yeah, I've got loved ones already gone on. But there's not one life in this building, Sister Bailey, that ain't got some loved one that's already went to hell. How many more are we going to let go to hell before we stop them? How many more? Don't go. Father, in the name of Jesus, deal with souls across this house. And while they sang, I ask you, Master, to deal with their hearts. Stir that lost woman in this building tonight. It's got a weeping mother not far from her. It's begging you, God, don't let my baby go to hell. Sing, children, quickly.
We had all the time we need to plow the field and plant the seed. But now I realize the darkening skies say night is stealing on.
I don't ever do.
While we wait,
sing on.
It's growing late, The day
I feel the Holy Ghost. Ask somebody over here.
Say not to
will you give it to God?
I'll
will you come home?
To the plow.
Could I ask somebody in this house?
There's no
will
time
you turn around?
It's
will you choose to go to hell
now,
over the highway to heaven? Will you die lost within the reach and the arms of the mercies of God?
And God still searching.
What are you going to do?
For someone to till the land.
I said, what are you going to do? You're going to go to hell without God.
So many die and never know.
Young man,
why he came.
Don't get weary with me. Listen to this. What you gonna do when you burnt your life like a candle at both ends and you ain't got nothing left to hold on to? I went and saw that boy. He was a homosexual. You hear me?
And it waits for you.
He sent a message back to me. There it is. Come home. He said, go tell him. I said, it ain't fun out here. He said, not when you remember what I remember. He said, I miss church. He said, but there's a power greater than me has got a hold of me. I challenge you in the name of Jesus. Escape Sodom tonight. Escape it in the name of the Lord. Run for your life. Escape to the mountain. I said escape to the mountain. Run for your life. Run. Don't go to hell. I feel the Holy Ghost to beg somebody. Don't turn him down tonight. Don't turn him down tonight.
Like falling grain.
Don't do it.
And we're all to blame.
Don't do it.
But in his nail-scarred hand,
Nathaniel,
there's a deed.
Don't do it.
To the land of abundance.
Don't turn it down. Don't turn it down.
It's for you to
join. Don't turn it down.
And work the field.
In the struggle.
Say not
in the struggle.
Tomorrow,
I won't shout them out. I won't shout them out. I want to escape Sodom.
There's no time.
Come on, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right here. You'll either get them now or hell's going to keep them.
While helpless me.
Come home.
Reach out for
come home, come home, come home. Every saint of God left in this building in the back, you ought to make your way to the front
to till the land
and help us pray. Older or not older, why don't you join us in this altar tonight? You sit back every night this week and not even come up here. Grandma, why don't you make a break and say, it may be my granddaughter next. It may be my child next. It may be my boy that'll get saved. Why don't you turn it around? Your difference is, sir, with us. Why don't you bury it and come join arms and say, let's go to heaven. Let's win the lost. Just beckon them to come.
Searching for
quit trying to feel after whether we're right or not. Just help us gather the lost.
I used to think
sing it.
We had all the time we need to plow the field and plant the seed. But now I realize that
Come on. Let's just stand there.
Night is stealing.
Don't just stand there and look. Plead for salvation.
It's growing. The day is
plead for salvation.
Say not tomorrow.
Some of you young girls,
I'll hold
you need to repent
vow.
Tonight. God, my apparel ain't been
there's
pleasing
no
to holiness.
Tomorrow. It's summer now.
I'm ready to clean out the closet.
While
I'm ready to get shut of it. You say, preacher, I ain't doing it because you say. He told him, he said, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, will not hear though one rose from the dead. You'll either hear God's preacher or you'll not hear nobody. Come on. Come on. It shouldn't be a quiet altar service. This altar service should not be quiet. While in the birthing of souls into the kingdom of God. When Zion travails, she'll bring forth her children. Come on. Pray them through. Pray them through.
There's a
pull them out of the fire.
Of abundant years. And it waits for you.
Pull them out of the fire.
Join the few. And work the field. Say not tomorrow. I'll hold to the plan. There's no time to borrow. It's summer now. While helpless millions reach out for mercy's hand. And God's still searching for someone to till the land. Say not tomorrow, I'll hold to the plan. There's no time to borrow. It's summer now. While helpless millions reach out for mercy's hand. And God's still searching for someone to till the land. Say not tomorrow, I'll hold to the vow. There's no time to borrow. It's summer now. While helpless me.